Hi, this is Joan. I'm a trading, and you're listening to the Rock Solid Podcast.
Make me a deal and make it good for me. I won't get full of myself. I can't afford to be. This is small town music. This is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away. A song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis, and my guest today has just released her 22nd studio album from her almost 50-year recording career. Please welcome to the Zoom room, Grammy-nominated singer-songwriter Joan Armatrading. Good morning, Joan. How are you?
Very good, Pat, though, and here I am in the Zoom room.
Yes, you are. You're in the Zoom room. Now, Joan, you're in the UK. I'm in Los Angeles. It's 9 a.m. for me, and it's about 5 p.m. for you, correct?
That's right.
And you've been doing this all day long. You've been promoting the new album, Consequences, because digitally it is out today, June 18th. Yes.
Worldwide, it's out today, June 18th. How exciting is that?
Yes, in America, it's only out digitally until, I believe, August 13th, and that's when the CD and the LP will drop.
But yes, everywhere digitally it's out, and other places will get CDs and vinyl.
So the number one thing today, Joan, is go and buy this album, people. If you're listening today, go and buy it. Joan, This is an amazing album. I am so happy for you because, you know, sometimes artists that have had a 50-year career, you don't know what they're going to release. You don't know what to expect. You know what I mean? You don't know if they still have some gas in the tank. And Joan, you've hit a home run.
Oh, that's nice.
This album's fantastic. Start to finish, all 10 tracks. It's 35 minutes long. It's the way albums used to be when you'd get 10 songs. And these are all winners. I love it. It's becoming one of my favorite albums for sure of 2021. So first of all, thank you so much for recording Consequences.
Well, that's fantastic. And thank you so much for enjoying it. I mean, I certainly enjoyed making it and writing the songs. And I know people don't listen to music in this way. When you would get an album, you know, 20 how many years ago, you would put on the first track and let it play right through and get a good listen of the album all the way through for the first time at least. And then probably for a few times you'd play it all the way through and then you'd start to pick out different songs that you wanted to hear again.
Correct.
So you'd play track three and then go maybe to track five and then put the album away and then come back and listen to track one. These days, people don't seem to listen to an album from beginning to end. And I was kind of hoping that people, when they got this album, would listen to it from beginning to end because it works as an album. I mean, it doesn't stop you just picking out tracks if that's what you want to do. Of course, you can do that. But I think just to get the real feel of the album, it'd be great. I'd love it if people would listen to it from beginning to end. And then you know, start to pick out the ones that you just want to hear over and over again, even if it's only one.
I think you're correct. I really believe that this album does need to be listened start to finish. I feel like, and you can let me know if I'm right or wrong, I feel like this is kind of a loose concept album in a way.
Not really. The theme of all my albums is love. So this is themed around love as well. But what I've tried to do over the last quite a few albums is to be kind of concentrate on an aspect of it. So, for instance, when I did the trilogy of blues, rock, jazz, I did a blues album, a rock album, a jazz album. And then I thought I would really like an album to sound very acoustic. So the album before this was called Not Too Far Away, and that was very acoustic sounding, lots of acoustic guitar, acoustic piano, not a lot of heavy, not a lot of electric guitar playing in it. And then I thought this would be nice to have this one very keyboards orientated. So you've got nice acoustic piano as well, you know, acoustic sound and piano, but you've also got nice keyboard things, synth things, bubbly things, you know, strings, things. So it's very keyboard sounding. So that's kind of how I've gone about doing the different albums. I try and, certainly since 2003, I've tried to do that. Before that, I would, whatever came into my head, I would write. So if I wrote a pop song and in my head popped a jazz song, then I'd write that. So you'd have that followed by that.
Well, that's the great thing about your career.
Quite nice to kind of condense a bit. So that's what I've been doing. Who knows what I'll do in the next album? I have no idea.
Well, that's what I love about your career is you really can't be pigeonholed. I mean, we can call you a singer-songwriter, but then you lean into folk and pop and new wave and blues and jazz and a little bit of everything, and it never sounds forced. It never sounds like you're saying, oh, I'm going to try this or I'm going to try that. It just seems to organically come out of your heart and soul.
Yeah, I just do my interpretation of of these things. That's probably why it's like that. I'm not trying to be a clone of whichever person is big in that genre. I just want to just do my stuff. And I think that's probably why you say that. I just try and be me, really.
Let me comment on your voice. Your voice is as strong as ever. It hasn't lost, to my ears, it hasn't lost a thing. Now, maybe to you, the artist, you feel differently, but you just sound fabulous. For me, your voice has always possessed strength, but has like an underlying vulnerability, if that makes sense. And I just love it.
Yeah. I don't think I hear any difference in my voice. It seems the same to me, mm-hmm. but that could be just me. But you've just said you think that. So, and I'm not doing anything for my voice. It's just my voice. It's just there for me to use. So there's nothing, I don't do a kind of take care of your voice thing.
It's just, you're just genetically, it's the natural sound. That's terrific.
Yeah, it's just the natural. But you look at people like Tom Jones. I mean, he has an amazing voice and he's older than me.
Yes.
10 years older than me, I think he is. And he sounds great. So, people do kind of keep hold of their voices. If you listen to Robert Smith of The Cure, for instance, he still sounds great.
Yeah, yeah.
There's people who, and I bet you if Amy Winehouse was alive still and had a 50-year career, which I absolutely think she would have had, she would have still sounded great.
Yeah, I guess
so
if
some
you...
Some people are just lucky.
Yeah, and I guess if you never stop singing and never stop using the instrument, it's going to stay intact.
Yeah.
Let's get into some of the songs on this album. First of all, this album is so, for me, it's just a wonderfully positive album. Were these songs written during the lockdown or were these songs written prior? Because, you know, if you wrote these uplifting songs during COVID, that's amazing.
Well, I started writing the songs in January 2020, so before COVID.
Wow, okay.
But the way I work is I work completely alone. So the way I wrote this album in terms of writing and recording and everything is exactly how I've written the last however many albums and recorded the last however many albums. So it's me just on my own. I'm writing, arranging, producing, engineering, playing everything that you hear on the album. So it's just me. So in terms of COVID, it had no effect, and COVID lockdown, the pandemic, had no effect at all on the creative process or the recording process. It had no effect on that because that's what I do anyway and have done for years.
Gotcha.
So in that respect, I'm very lucky. I don't have to think, well, I hope that so-and-so can finally get to me in 3 weeks' time or 2 months' time. I'm here. It's just me.
But...
And so writing the songs, none of them are lockdown, COVID, pandemic related.
No, songs. No, they're not.
Songs. So because of the way I work and think and write, then they can be what they need to be. I don't need to reference this thing that's happening. I can reference what I would normally reference. And I'm a very up person anyway. And I think even if you go back to a lot of my other songs, you'll hear, even if sometimes the subject matter might seem a little bit sad, the music can be very up. So that's because I'm quite positive person.
And Joe, and so are you telling, because I don't have the individual album credits on this. So you wrote all the songs, obviously. You produced the album. And are you playing every instrument on the album?
Yeah, everything you hear, I'm the only person on the record.
Okay.
So everything you hear is me. So I engineered it. I produced it. I did all the arrangements, which is normal. That's what, you know, go back to how many albums. That's
sure.
me. And I'm playing everything and I'm singing everything. Somebody said, where did you get the choir from? Well, the choir is me. I just layer my voice and there's the thing that sounds like the choir. So, yeah, it's just me.
Well, that's, I wanted to ask specifically about the song Like. The drums on that song are incredible. And now I'm finding out that you played the drums on this song. They're fantastic.
Falling in love all the time, so why should this be such a big surprise? This happens every day of our lives. I knew my time would come around. I never wanted anybody else to like you. And I never wanted anybody else for love the way that I love you. Keep it secret for as long as we can. Don't boast about our love for a while. Camouflage our feelings with a smile. In our hearts, we are strong. I never wanted anybody else to like you. And I never wanted...
Well, the drums, all the drums, I can play drums, but I don't play drums on my albums.
Okay.
Because I don't think I'm good enough. But I program all the drums. So in effect, I am playing the drums.
Yes.
So I program all the drums that you hear on this album, the last album, the album before that. So I program the drums.
Okay. And well, the drums that you programmed for the song Like were, those immediately caught my ear. I just loved it. I mean, that sounds like it's like a professional musician at the top of their drum game. I mean, really, that's incredible.
I mean, the thing about it is it's kind of a question of thinking like a drummer, because you can use loops and loops are great.
Sure.
It's not that you can't, but to just have a loop for every song wouldn't be that interesting. So you need to start to think, well, how would a drummer play here? What would a fill go there? Would there be different percussion things? Because you'll notice there's percussive things happening as well. So would different percussive thing comes in, you know? So just think like that. I'm just thinking of the arrangements of the song and trying to make the song as good as I possibly can, especially since it's just me and I'm not relying on anybody else to come in and help it. I have to be kind of on top of it, really.
Now, since it is just you, do you ever question your abilities, or who do you, with no sounding board, do you eventually play these songs for someone? Are you that confident in your ability in songwriting that you're just able to just do it and just put it out there to the world?
I'm very confident. If I play the song to anybody, it's because I'm ready to play it to people, not because I'm looking for help.
Okay.
If I put it like that.
Yeah. Or yeah, you don't need anyone to give you a thumbs up or a thumbs down. You know. That's great. Okay. Let me ask you this. Since you write so many songs about love, and again, this album is just filled with, it's just a joy. I don't know how else to describe it, but
yeah, it is very joyful.
Who is your, do you have a muse, Joan? Because you can't just write about love. I don't think so, if you're not in love.
Well, I've spent the last 50 years saying I need my privacy.
Okay.
If I then put all of my most intimate, innermost thoughts on a record,
mm-hmm.
I would be some kind of an idiot, because why am I saying I need to be private? And then on the other hand, I give you all the stuff that you want, that you're asking me to give in terms of a private thing. So of course the songs are not all about me.
Gotcha.
I can't write 22 albums just about me. I mean, I would be some kind of a sick person, because that's a narcissistic person.
Very much so, yes.
You know, you'd be so internal that in the end you would need quite a lot of help. So most of the songs are not about me. Of course, there are songs that I've written that are me. There's a song on there called Better Life. And that's just my kind of philosophy in life. I think, you know, it's nice to think about yourself, be good to yourself. Don't judge yourself against other people. Smile, be happy, be positive. You know, love is a great thing. Be loving. That's very much the way I think. So any song you hear, like I'm Lucky, Blessed, this song, Prove Yourself, those kinds of songs, they're all songs me. But yeah. All the other stuff, I'm just looking around. I'm looking to see how's that person reacting to that person. I might see something, I might hear something, I might read something, somebody might tell me something. I have had very often people say, Joan, I'm going to tell you a story. It's a great story, and I'm sure you're going to get a good song out of this. I have never written a song from somebody saying that to me, because it doesn't work like that.
Right.
It doesn't work that somebody says, here's your next song, write this. That's not how it works.
Right, and sometimes that can immediately turn you off and push you the other way. You immediately don't want to write a song about that.
Yeah.
Okay, you brought up the song Better Life, so I want to ask you, in theory, it's simple. Live positively and you'll have a better life. I mean, it's that simple. And yet, I don't know why people in the world can't do it.
Yeah.
Can't.
I don't. No, I was going to say, I'm with you. I don't know why people can't do it.
Yeah, it just seems simple. I love when you say all you have to be is a love junkie.
Yes, that's right.
be addicted to love. It's come on, folks. And then another line in the song is don't compare yourself to everybody else. And this is where, for teens, I have a 16-year-old daughter and they're on social media all the time. And they compare themselves to all these, people that they see on social media. And it's all phony. You can't live up to those expectations of people who are hiding behind camera filters and all that stuff. So yeah, I hope.
Absolutely. Because they're not even being true to themselves.
No.
So how can you possibly want to emulate that? You're emulating falsehood.
Right. Yeah. I mean, everyone wants to look good, but I look as good as I can look, Joan. I'm not, and that's it. Take it or leave it. Let's go to track one on the album, Natural Rhythm. If I can interpret it, it's just being in sync with your partner and how great that is when you find that match.
Yes. When you see sometimes when you see older couples, like old 80s, 90s couple, and they're walking in step and they've decided that I don't know how long they've been dressing alike, but they're dressed alike.
Right.
Both wearing those caps. They've got the Czech cardigan jumper thing on, you know, with the colours, those kind of golf-looking things. They're both, and they're really in step, and when they eat, they eat in harmony, you know, they synchronize the fork going to the mouth.
Yeah, the chewing is in sync.
It's all in sync. And they have natural rhythm. You look at, I mean, some of the older guys, it's just gorgeous to watch. You know, so they're walking down the street holding hands and stuff. It's lovely. And they're definitely in sync. But there's another song called Glorious Madness. And Glorious Madness is really now relating to, the natural rhythm wasn't relating to older people, but I just gave that as a for instance of natural rhythm. But this relates to younger people when they're in love, and you'll see the chap who he'll be walking down the street holding the girl's hand, and he's doing that because he really loves her and he wants to hold her hand. But at the same time, you can kind of see the look on his face like, I hope none of my friends see me doing this because it's a bit embarrassing. And I've seen it. You see men, they'll skip down the road with their girlfriends. And again, that's just because they're in love and, you know, they're going to do this to please. And they probably have the same feeling as she does, but it's not, you don't expect to see kind of grown-ups skipping.
Again.
Not that there's anything wrong with it, but, right. You know, it can look different. And that's the beauty of the glorious madness. When people fall in love, they can do really silly things and get away with it, almost in that childish way, you know, childlike way. Because when you see children do certain things, you just accept it. That's what it is. They're children. That's fine for them to skip around like lambs.
This is a glorious madness. This is madness of the heart. You got me whirling on a moonlit planet, the shape of a blue marble. My friends say my behavior's frenzied. Will this madness stop? Yes, it feels like being possessed. And my mind is blown with this crazy love. Will the madness stop? I'm in a state of confusion. I can't think straight. This is delirium and illusion. When will the madness stop? Just put me in a straitjacket. I don't want this madness to stop. I'm on this ride until the end. And I say, who wants to stop a merry-go-round? Most times you want it to go faster. Most times you want it to go faster. Most times you want it to go faster. Most times you want it to go faster.
And then for longevity, I think you should never lose that glorious madness. Don't lose it completely.
Yeah.
You need it.
Yeah.
I find when couples hold hands, that for me, that might be the number one sign of affection. I mean, you can kiss someone deeply or on the cheek, but when you just see a couple whose hands naturally just come together, it's just it's a good feeling at any age.
Yeah. Yeah, and absolutely.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Let's go on to Already There, which is the first single, and you have a video for it. How do you like making videos at this age, or are you still... Or have you never liked doing it, or have you always liked doing it?
I'm not fussed. this video, it's a great video.
It
actually
is.
I think I didn't think I needed to be in it because the dancers are so good. But the choreographer and the director of the video, they're the ones that came up with the concept of the video, to have the dancers interpret what was being sung and said. And the dancers are gorgeous. They're so good. They really kind of, the movement of them and the flow of them, it's very romantic. It's lovely. I'm just sitting there singing. So.
Yeah, but you look proper. You look you look regal. You're sitting in the chair and you're singing, and then the action is happening around you. I love it. Yeah. I think it's a simple video, but it's perfect.
You just told me you love me for the very first time, and it feels like I'm flying, and the sky is all mine. I'm floating. Let me tell you my secret, I've never said it before. While you were falling in love, I was already there. I was already there. Already there and so in love with you. I was already there. I was already there, but I was biding my time. From that very first touch, I wanted was more than I knew to expect. The excitement of you was intoxicating. Yeah, you took your time to notice me, but I noticed you.
They did a good job, those guys, all four of them, I should say, because there's two dancers. So the choreographer coming up with those beautiful movements, and the director knowing where to place everything and how to kind of edit everything. Just worked great. I loved it. I love it. It's actually one of my favorite videos that I've done.
And you must have felt guilty, Joan, because you're sitting all day while these people are dancing. They're dancing and sweating all day long, and you're just chilling out in that chair.
Yeah. I didn't feel guilty.
And this song, again, I'm interpreting these lyrics as I've heard them. You can correct me. But this is Already There is... You know, when you start dating someone and you're dating for a long time, or it could be a short time, and you're feeling like you want to say, I love you, but you won't, because you don't know if it's going to be reciprocated. And then if the other person says it first, then that's where I'm Already There comes from. That's how I interpret the song.
Yeah, which it can be.
Yeah.
It's about love at first sight, because I think that... I could be so wrong. It could be that this is how it happens the majority of times. But I think in most cases, when you have a love at first sight, it's not a simultaneous thing. You don't get the two people instantly falling in love together.
Right.
I think one person falls in love just before the other one, or quite a bit before the other one. And then they're kind of waiting for that other person to catch up. And finally, the person says, as the first line says, you just told me you love me for the very first time. They say, I love you. And then you finally have a really happy ending love story, because now they're one. So that's what that's about. It's just another way of saying love at first sight and waiting for that person to catch up.
Perfect. Track 3, To Be Loved. This is another love song, because we're all about the love today, Joan. And I love the lyric, you melt my heart like ice cream in the sun. Perfect. I mean, that says it. What do you,
that,
you know?
That
yes. Says it.
I wonder how I ever found you against all odds. To be loved, 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 to be loved.
Joan, I'd like to go back a few years and talk about some of the earlier albums, and then we'll come back and close it out with a little bit more Consequence talk. Oh, I do want to ask you this. The album's uplifting and joyous, but the song and the title Consequences, for me, the word consequences has a negative connotation because consequences to me have always felt like a negative thing. Why did you choose that song for the album title?
Well, I'm kind of always talking about consequences. I was talking about, you know, an action that you do can seem quite innocent and small and insignificant and can turn out to be something huge. And so in the song, the two people in the song, the one person is saying, you need to think about the choices that you're making and the actions that you're about to do, because if you don't think of the choice and you don't think of the action, we could end up not being together. And I have to, this is in the song, I have to decide, if you do this and the consequence of that causes us to be together, am I open to that, or am I just going to say, blow the consequences, I'll just live with whatever you're doing? So that's kind of saying you've got to think about your actions and your words when you're with people, because, you know, if you want a happy ending, you need to kind of be mindful. That's really what consequences is saying.
Okay, cool.
And it, as I said before, it's not a pandemic album. It's had nothing to do with it, nothing referenced. However, if you think about what we're going through, that's a consequence of either somebody eating something and getting a virus and passing it on, or a virus being released in a laboratory and affecting everybody. So you've got the consequence of that, whatever that action was.
Yes.
Devastating the world. Because that consequence made countries close their borders, affected the economy, killed people, changed work habits, made your freedom restricted, because if you wanted to go to the park, if you wanted to go shopping, if you wanted to go to a restaurant, all of those things that you took for granted, you suddenly couldn't do on a whim.
True.
That's a consequence of whatever, because we don't know what happened.
Exactly.
I'm supposing we'll find out one day, but we don't know what happened. But whatever that was, in itself, was kind of a small thing. But look at the consequence of it.
Yeah. True. And again, consequences, not about the pandemic, not about COVID, because for me, I don't want all the new albums and all the new movies and all the new TV shows that come out and all the new art to come out to be dwelling on that. I want something forward thinking. I want to look ahead.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. I don't want this to be a historic reminder of a time. You know, I don't want to say, oh, yes, that's the pandemic album. No, it's not.
No.
That's the John Armour Trading album, which had nothing to do with the pandemic. It just happens to be that it was released and written around that time. But it doesn't reference it in any shape or form.
Because the pandemic did not stop creativity. So,
no.
Yeah.
And people say, well, how, if you write from observation, how in this time that we're going through, how could you observe? But of course, we didn't stop communicating.
No.
If anything, we communicated more. We were on the phone much more to people and Zoom much more. We were watching the television much more. We were reading the paper much more. So we were constantly getting information all the time. If something happened, you know, if a group of people decided to kind of break rules, they'd be on the television. So you'd see people in a situation and how they would behave in, and you could kind of look at that and do whatever you want to with that, you know, just ignore it or whatever. But that's still observing, you know. That's,
yeah.
So it, for me, it didn't stop communication. It didn't stop being able to be observant. It didn't stop. Like the song on the album is called To Anyone Who Will Listen.
To anyone who will listen, please hear what I say. Turn off your judgment, try and understand how this lonely heart breaks, how the tears start to fall. I need your help to heal.
And the reason I wrote that, and that closes the album, the reason I wrote that was because I was reading a magazine, and this chap was talking about his depression. He was a depressive man, and he was saying that what he wanted was people to listen to him. He didn't want advice. He didn't want them to say, you know, this is what you should do, or kind of give him something. That's not... All he wanted was, just sit down, let me tell you why I'm feeling like this, or trying to explain how I'm feeling. And I really felt for him when I was reading. I don't know him, obviously. He's just a chap in the paper. But I really felt for him, so that's why I wrote the song. And then a couple of weeks back, Oprah Winfrey had that program called The Me You Never See, I think it's called. The Me You Never See, or The Me You Don't Know.
Okay.
And it's about... people with mental health issues, and Lady Gaga was on there, and she was saying exactly the same thing that this young chap was saying, that really we want people to listen to you. And she said that people can do actions and might, you know, spring into action with certain things, but actually they haven't listened to you. And the important thing is to listen to find out, so you can just express these feelings that you're going through.
And to,
so I thought that was quite interesting.
And to paraphrase a line from the song to anyone who will listen, turn off your judgment, try to understand. And then I think the line ends with, I need your help to heal my troubled mind. So yeah, just listen, people. You don't have to give your two cents all the time. People just want to lean on you and have their words heard. I'm going way back, Joan. 1976 to the Joan Armatrading self-titled third album. You hook up with producer Glyn Johns, who you work with then for, you know, three studio albums and a live album. How do you hook up with Glyn Johns? This guy worked with the Stones and the Who and Zeppelin. He worked with a lot of these macho rock bands. and now here comes Joan Armatrading. Not that you're not a strong woman, but how do you get hooked up with Glyn?
Did you say I'm not a strong woman?
No. No, I said not that you're not a strong woman.
All right.
I hope that's what I said, because that's what I meant to say. And if I didn't say that, Joan, I'm editing that.
any producer that I've worked with was suggested by the record company.
Okay.
So it would be the record company that would have said, you know, it's a good idea to work with Glyn. And it was great working with Glyn. My very first producer was Gus Dudgeon, who was like the producer at the time. Elton John was the artist at the time, selling whatever percentage of records all over the world. And Gus was the producer. But what Gus recognized and knew was that I knew what I wanted.
Okay.
When I went in with a song, it was a song. It wasn't, I didn't go in thinking, I hope the producer and the rest of the band can make this song become a song. I think that's my job.
Yes, for sure.
So I'm not going in hoping that the producer is going to turn this into something. Similarly with Glyn, again, Glyn knew that I knew what I wanted. But they're both of them are great producers in that they'll just make sure that what I'm after is going to happen. I mean, I'm there making sure it happens as well. Obviously, I'm able to communicate what I'm wanting, and I can play some of the bits if I need to, all that kind of stuff. But I'm relying on the producer, when I work with a producer and any producer, I'm relying on them mainly to help me get great sounds, mm-hmm. to help me find great musicians, to have a really good atmosphere, and both Glyn and Gus were good at this, to, you know, if we're doing the take, to know, to hear as well as me, obviously, this is a great take, and to mix the album into that high quality, you know. So there's things that I'm relying on the producer to do, but what I'm never going to rely on the producer to do is write my song.
Right.
So, you know, the producer is not going to be the person who says, here's the verse, here's the chorus, here's the middle eight, here's the solo, this is what, that's not going to happen. Because I'm the writer, and I figure I'm the one who should know that. And if I'm not the one who knows it, it'll be somebody else. It'll be either the producer or the keyboard player, the bass player. It'll be somebody else.
Okay.
And there's always somebody who will know it. Since I'm the writer, I figure I should be the one to know it.
Well, you have your first chart success as Love and Affection from that album goes to number 10 in the UK.
Really move. Now if I can feel the sun in my eyes and the rain on my face, why can't I feel love? Really love, really love, really love, really love, really love, 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 love. Now I got all I may need my home, but I should just stick to those that I have got.
With friends, I still feel so. That must have felt good. I mean, at 26 years of age, you got a top 10 song in the UK.
Yeah, that was great.
Sure.
Yeah, it was wonderful. I mean, I think we were all really happy. I think we all felt that we were making a really good album, and, you know, felt as if people would enjoy it. I wanted Love and Affection to be this to the single, and the record company said, "Remember, Joan, you asked for it."
And it worked. So, you were right, Joan.
It worked, yes.
That must be nice when you're right.
Yeah.
And another great song and single from the album, Down to Zero. Feel like this album is you have so many great albums, but this is like one of your classics. I think if people were gonna list their top three or five Joan Armatrading albums, I believe this would be in that, you know, top three. Yeah. Or five. It's pretty great for
that's,
sure
that's really nice. and you know, the I know I'm the writer of all of these albums and everything.
Sure.
But I would put them in some kind of I don't know if the list would be the order, but I would definitely put the Joan Armatrading album, the Shouting Stage, this album, Into the Blues. I would put those albums into that, and Show Some Emotion, actually, into that list, and then I'd have to work out an order.
That's amazing that you can do that, because a lot of artists say they can't do that. They say, oh, they're all my babies, and I love them all equally. So I'm glad that you can step back from the work. And,
well, I can Yeah, I can say that it's hard to say which is your favorite song.
Right.
But in terms of an album, when you're kind of looking at the whole, I think I would be able to put them in some kind of an order. Because although I love them all, I think some are stronger. I think they're all strong,
right,
personally. Some are stronger than others.
Well,
man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
I mean, I could talk about your back catalog for a whole hour, but I'm going to jump, because I'm looking at my notes. There's so many things I want to touch, but we're almost out of time. I want to jump to 1983, The Key, produced by Steve Lillywhite. I believe this is the first time I ever heard you and saw you, and that would have been with Drop the Pilot, the video. I probably saw it on MTV.
I'm right on target, my aim is straight. So you're in love, I say, what of it? Things can change.
And that one was produced by Val Garay, because I guess the record label felt like you needed some singles, and they sent you back to write some more.
No, they I went back to write a single. I went to purposely write a single. It's great to be able to think, well, I'm going to sit down and write a single.
I know, that's not easy. and again, have it work.
It worked, yes. Yeah.
Another song off of that album, which I've never quite understood this song. I love the song, but I want you to give me this backstory on this. I love it when you call me names. Like, when I hear it, is this a person who gets off on being in an abusive relationship? I mean, that's how I hear it sometimes. What's the real story?
It's tongue in cheek, but it's actually two guys that I knew. They're not gay guys, but one of them was a little guy and one was a bigger guy. And the little guy was always trying to bully the bigger guy. I was like, what is that about? Why are you trying to have a go at this guy who could knock you down with like a one hit? So that's why I wrote it, because I was really interested in this kind of, and then as I said, they weren't a gay couple.
Right.
They were just two blokes.
Two guys.
So, and they seem to they seemed to kind of delight in taunting each other. It was the weirdest thing to watch. Well,
that's what guys would do that sometimes. All right, Joan, we are going to wrap it up. I want to do some more promoting for you. You're doing a live stream concert July 31st, and you can go to joanarmatrading.com and find out all about that. Is it going to be a solo show, or is it going to be a full band show?
Yeah, it's a full band show. So it's me playing an electric and acoustic guitar. There'll be a bass player, keyboard player, drummer, and a sax player. And it'll be songs from all the different albums, as many as I can, because it's quite difficult with all those albums to know what to put in the show. And then, of course, there'll be songs from this album as well. So, it's just like as if you were in the theatre, but you'll be at your home. We'll be in a venue. It's a really characterful church.
Nice.
Stained glass windows and gorgeous atmosphere, so you'll see that we're having fun.
You can also follow Joan on Twitter at Armitrading Joan. It's reversed. The names are reversed. Yeah. Joan, before we go, I always ask my guest to choose a song off the new album that they would like me to use as our playout song. Are you able to choose one of these 10? Because they're all 10 out of 10s.
I'm going to choose Consequences, actually.
All right.
I should probably choose the single, but I'm going to choose Consequences.
Well, I'll drop a little bit of the single into the episode when we talk about that. So I will play Consequences at the end. So again, everybody, go buy this album. You will not be sorry. If you've never heard of Joan Armatrading, first of all, where have you been? And second of all, if you buy this album, you're going to be a fan and you're going to go buy all the other albums. Also, July 31st, let's check out this concert. I'm going to be there. And Joan, if I ever get a chance to talk to you again, we'll go through all the other albums. But this has been a pleasure. And again, this is one of the positive things to come out of COVID is I get to talk to people like you. So thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Pat.
Take care, Joan. Continued success with the new record. And everybody listening, please enjoy the song Consequences. Bye, Joan.
Thank you, Pat.
Got your telephone call. When you decide on your choices, think of the consequences. Think of the consequences. I know you're testing all the boundaries. I see you cracking down lanes. I'm gonna keep throwing options and the consequences.
And if I can't,
consequences.
3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.